Now, traditional history often documents the lives and experiences of the powerful and privileged of a particular time.
That means it can be hard to go back and reconstruct the lives of the rest of us in the usual ways. If they're an option, one of the best ways is to use oral histories of people of the time or from their descendants.
Lifelong Madison resident and longtime educator Muriel Sims did just that to research her book titled Settlin', Stories of Madison's Early African-American Families. Muriel, welcome to Central Time.
It's a pleasure to be here.
You spoke with descendants of some of Madison's first African-American families. What brought those first Black settlers to Madison, and when did they start coming?
I start the search beginning 1846. So we do know that early African-American folks came here as early as 1846. I interviewed the descendants of people who came here in the early 1900s. So that is really basically when the majority of people started coming to Madison and settling here.
And what brought them here?
Well, one of the reasons that I could figure out is that they had relatives already here or by word of mouth. I know that in my dad's case, he came up here in 1927, but John Parrish knew him in Missouri, found out he was here, and followed him up here. Hmm. Others happened to hear about Madison and came here. Others were traveling through Madison, liked it, and stayed.
And so you mentioned Missouri. Where else were some of those early families coming from?
One family, the Hopkins family, came from Houston, Texas, I believe. Another, several from Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, or Georgia. Mm-hmm. So we sort of followed the Mississippi River in some cases, and other cases not.
Interesting. So how did you track down descendants of those early families?
I knew many of the descendants, and I asked them if they would be willing to be interviewed, and most of them said yes.
And I'm guessing that when you talked to them, they also said, oh, and make sure you talk to so-and-so.
They did. And I knew their parents. So, I mean, I remember Mrs. Stamps of years ago and Mrs. Grimes and all of the people who were their relatives, I knew already. So when they referred to them and how they lived, I was very familiar with that context.
So there are stories in your book that relate to the experience of living in different parts of Madison, but the neighborhood that's mentioned over and over is the Greenbush neighborhood or the Bush. Tell us about that neighborhood in the early 20th century when many of those Black families were making it their home.
I don't know that much about the neighborhood itself. I remember living over across the railroad tracks from the Greenbush. I could not go over there. I was too young, so I couldn't cross the tracks to go to the Greenbush. But I remember that it was a very cozy neighborhood. That's what I remember. And that people seemed to get along very well over there. That is the fundamental truth of that neighborhood, is regardless of the ethnicity, folks there got along and they helped each other. There seemed to be very little, if any, conflict whatsoever.
Well, and that's interesting because it was African American. It was also very Italian and
yes.
very Jewish.
Yes.
And so one could imagine that there might have been conflict. But in the stories, it really does seem, I mean, obviously, like any neighborhood, not everyone's going to get along. But it did seem like there was something that pulled those families together.
Well, my perception is that they were in the same similar income level. They were all struggling. Many of them had two jobs. They seemed to be kind of in the same boat, so to speak. So there really was no reason to get excited about race or income or gender issue, any of those issues that we commonly find ourselves in today. There was no reason. They were too busy trying to make a way out of no way. And also, they wanted to start their own businesses. They were entrepreneurs. And people forget about that part of their lives. So you had these, you know, the conflict of the new ethnic groups with Caucasians trying to get in their way, but you also had them very family-oriented and trying to make a living.
We're talking with Muriel Sims. Her new book is Settlin', Stories of Madison's Early African-American Families. And Muriel, what were some of the institutions that were hubs for the African-American community in Madison in those early days? What brought people together?
Well, the church was the main one. I would say that just the socializing activities that they came up with helped pull them together. Church was on Sundays and maybe another time during the week, but they also went to Brittingham Park for picnics or for outdoor gatherings. They had clubs. They had at least 7 or 8 clubs. Most of them were women's clubs, and a couple of them were men's clubs, like the Lodge, mm-hmm. for example. So they had their way of creating their own institutions in order to socialize and find mentorships and friendships.
And it also sounded like some of those groups, the clubs, were also meant to help new arrivals get settled in Madison.
They were an avenue by which newcomers could get settled. They came to know people who could help them find lodging, help them find a safe place to be. So yes, those institutions were helpful in that regard.
So Muriel, challenges in housing, employment, and education seem to have been common problems to face for those early Madison families. How did they deal with those issues? One of the things I found really interesting was how they tended to deal with the fact that whites didn't want to rent to them, so they had to find other housing options.
Yes, they did. Many of the families housed newcomers. That was the essential piece of how newcomers stayed here and why they wanted to stay here. My family had a small house, but we rented rooms to students who wanted to go to the university. Our house was the closest place to the university campus. So we were a desirable place for folks to stay. But there were many other homes in the 600 block of Dayton Street, as well as the Allison House, the most famous house on Mound Street, that housed African-Americans who came here, not just individuals, but families.
So if long-term residents were able to buy their own home, then they could turn around and provide housing for others.
Exactly. That's how it happened.
And you mentioned entrepreneurs, and that really struck me in reading these oral histories, too, is that because there were a lot of doors that were closed to African-Americans for employment, they often started their own enterprises.
They did. Many of them were barbers. One of the misconceptions about barbership is that some people seem to think, seem to think that barbering started in 1950. Well, barbering goes back to prior to 1900, and we had barbershops from 1900 to 1950. So one of the purposes of the book is to clear up some of these misperceptions that are going around. Yeah, I felt that was a motivator for me to get this book completed before people continue to have these misperceptions.
Well, and Muriel, your family has been in Madison for a very long time, as you were saying, just like those with whom you did interviews. What did this project mean for you personally?
It was a bucket list. As I said before, I began to hear not so good things said. Misperceptions, misconceptions, mischaracterizations of early African Americans, that bothered me. So I felt like I had to work a lot harder to get this book done and get it out in the public's eyes so that the public could understand that we really had a thriving community and that we were who we were. One of the misperceptions or mischaracterizations, I should say, was that a black college professor had said something about one of our earlier African-American families being a butler at the Capitol. He was not a butler. He may have described himself as a butler, but we as a community never thought of him as a butler. He was a man who had a job at a place. And that's how we thought about ourselves. We weren't maids. We weren't butlers. We were no kind of label of any kind. So when I hear things like that, I get a little wrinkly. And I don't mind saying to people that I don't like that, mm-hmm. because that is not fair to the community that existed back then.
Well, Muriel, thank you so much for sharing the stories and your time with us.
Thank you again.
Muriel Sims is a lifelong Madison resident and longtime educator in the Madison Metropolitan School District. She serves as an adjunct faculty member in the doctoral program in educational leadership at Edgewood College. She joined us to talk about her book, Settlin', Stories of Madison's Early African American Families.